Shalom, today's Daf Yomi is Sanhedrin Daf Ayin Aleph, Sanhedrin 71. And we are discussing in the chapter of Ben Sorer Umoreh, the law of a rebellious child who the Torah tells us must be executed because they are rebelling against their mother and their father. And the Torah tells us that the mother and father bring the child to the court and say, Beneinu zeh Sorer Umoreh, this our son has been rebellious. So our Mishnah tells us, Haya Aviv Rotze, let's say the father wants to stone the son. However, the mother doesn't want it. Imo Eno Rotze. Or let's say the father doesn't want it and the mother does want it, Einu Nasa Ben Sorer Umoreh. Then this child does not become Ben Sorer Umoreh. The child is not executed. Achi Shneim Rotzim, until both of them express the desire to execute their child. That is the Tanakhama's position of our Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda says, Im lo haisa imo ru'uyo aviv, if the mother was not ru'uyo aviv, which the Gemara is going to explain what that means. Einu nasa ben sorer umoreh. The child cannot become a ben sorer umoreh. So what does it mean, ru'uyo aviv? So says our Gemara, there's another price which tells us what when Rabbi Yehuda says that the mother and father both need to be ru'uya, it means, im lo haisa imo shaveh la'aviv bekol uvemar uvekoma, that the mother and father must be equal with the voice, meaning their voice must sound identical, their appearance and their height, then this child cannot become a ben sorer umoreh, cannot be considered a rebellious child. What is the reason, explains the Gemara? Because the verse says, Eino Einenu shomea bekoleinu, says the verse in Deuteronomy chapter 21, verse 20. They say, this child is not listening to our voice. And from the fact that it says bekoleinu, our voice, that is in the singular, meaning to say that their voice, our one voice, they are not listening to. And that means to say that the sound of our voice is equal. And from the fact that their voice needs to be equal, says our Gemara, of course, we also say that their appearance and their height, the Gemara assumes, must also be equal. And this, by the way, is also ripe for a homiletical interpretation, and that is to say that we cannot expect a child to behave properly if they are getting conflicting messages from their mother and their father. If the mother and the father are not speaking with one voice, if there is not a unity of message and vision with respect to educating the child and respect to raising the child, this is going to lead to a confused child, and this is going to lead to major problems. And so therefore, the idea is that if the mother and the father are not speaking with one voice, we cannot hold the child responsible for his actions. But the Gemara takes it in a different direction. The Gemara says this proves from the fact that it's almost impossible. How can you ever imagine a situation where the mother and the father have the same voice, are the same height, and have the same appearance? It's impossible. And so the Gemara says this, therefore, we must say that this position of the Gemara, which states that, like Rabbi Yehuda, that you're not going to become a Ben Sorer Umoreh until they have the same height and the same voice, it must be like the following price. Kaman azal hadatanya. We must say that Rabbi Yehuda must be following the following price, which states ben sorer umoreh lo hayav lo asid lihos, that a ben sorer umoreh there never was and there never will be such a ben sorer umoreh. So if that's the case, why is it written? Lama nichtav? Why do we have this passage in the Torah? Drosh v'kabel schar, just to expound upon it and to receive the reward for expounding upon it. And indeed, the Gemara cites another braisa that says that this is Rabbi Shimon's opinion. And what does Rabbi Shimon say? He says, because we're going to kill this child, because he ate a certain amount of meat and drink a certain amount of wine, and for that he's going to be stoned? Rather, lo hayav lo asid lios, there never was and there never will be such a ben sorer umoreh. So why is he written? Why does it appear in the Torah? Just drosh v'kabel schar, just to receive, expound upon it, and receive reward for expounding upon it. And this, of course, is a question. There's nothing else to expound upon. We have to make up new ideas to talk about. So why is it written in the Torah? So the point is, it's written in the Torah to teach us how not to have a ben sorer umoreh, that we study what we do to prevent creating such a child who is rebellious and creating such a parent who would want to actually, God forbid, bring their child and stone such a child. So this is the idea, Joshua Kabal Schar, to make sure that there never can be such a child. But then the Gemara records a different opinion. That is the opinion of Rabbi Yonas. And Rabbi Yonas says, Anira Isiv V'yashavti al Kivro. He says, I actually saw this Ben Sorer Moreh, and I sat on his grave. And then the Gemara is going to come and tell us that there are other incidents where the Gemara says that there never was and never will be. And Rabbi Yonas says, I sat on his grave. We have the idea of here, we're just speaking about a Ben Sorer Moreh. Then we're going to talk about a city, Ir HaNidachas, a city that was entirely executed, where Rabbi Lezer says that it can't become an Ir HaNidachas under such circumstances, and Rabbi Yonason says, I sat on its grave. And also we have the same idea about a house that has leprosy. There too we have the idea that there are those who say that there never was and never will be such a house as well. So we see this concept of Ir HaNidachas and a Ben Sorer Moreh that Rabbi Yonason says, I actually saw it, even though there are those who say that there never was and never will be such a place. He says, I saw it and I sat on its grave. But, says Rabbeinu Bechaya, I refuse to accept that Rabbi Yonason really saw a Ben Sorer Moreh and sat on his grave. He says in his commentary to the Torah in Deuteronomy chapter 21, verse 21, it's not that Rabbi Yonason actually saw it, but he said he saw somebody who was similar to a Ben Sorer Moreh. He's referring to Avshalom, who rebelled against King David and caused a revolution. That's what he was referring to. He's referring to somebody who acted like a rebellious child, but not that there actually was. And what does it mean he sat on his grave? Why are we being taught this? Says the Chasam Sofer that he's telling us that he went to sit on his grave and said, yes, if you're not going to listen to all the Torah's concerns about a rebellious child, then we could actually, we're worried that what's going to happen is that we actually will create a rebellious child. So we have all these laws to prevent a rebellious child from taking place. And I went to sit on the grave of a child where people didn't take seriously the danger that he presented to the world, but not that there actually was a rebellious child, even according to Rabbi Yonason.